Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, huge week of SEC football ahead of us, but a lot of news and notes to get to. I asked you in regards to the situation outside of Georgia and Texas. Which team do you feel is hitting on all cylinders in the conference in week number 4?
Yeah, Joe, to me, clearly two teams are playing in a way that can put them in contention for the conference championship, and that's Tennessee and Ole Miss. I say that because not only are they playing great defense, but they can put up prolific numbers, and both head coaches want to score as often as they can and as much as they can. And so that in any given Saturday, they can beat anybody because of the way they attack people with their offense. And so those are the two teams right now that I think, with a Texas and with a Georgia, they come at you a little different in the sense that they're going to try to score from play one to play 75. They're going to try to throw deep and find ways to score points. And I think that's the type of team. You remember a couple of years ago when Tennessee beat Alabama in a scoring fest. I think that's what makes those teams right now so intriguing and so exciting, with a chance to contend for the conference championship.
I agree with you, Coach. And Tennessee has a huge matchup with Oklahoma and Norman, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But both of these coaches, Josh Heupel and Lane Kiffin, want to run tempo. They both have dynamic quarterbacks this year. Jackson Dart completing 83% of his passes. There are no miss offense, averaging 434 passing yards per game, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. But they do it in different types of ways, right? Josh Heupel with his rushing attack and Dylan Sampson want to run tempo, but they want to do it with the rushing attack more balanced than, let's say, Ole Miss. Even though Ole Miss can run the football, it is a pass-heavy type of attack where they want to challenge you vertically, and then once they wear you down, then they want to catch the edge as it relates to the rushing attack. In your opinion, big picture, which team is built long-term to potentially challenge Georgia or Texas, not just in terms of the conference for a championship, but a national championship appearance?
Well, I think the team that the most talented team is Ole Miss. He's done a great job in the portal. He's loaded up with NFL talent on both sides of the football. And I think when it comes down to it, a standpoint of who has the best talent to contend, I think it is Ole Miss. But who understands what they're doing of attacking defenses? I go with Tennessee. And let me say this, although they run the ball so well, I believe you should call them a pass-first offense. Not because they pass first, but it's because they line up in passing formations, wide receivers all the way to the edge of the field, the chance to throw the bubble to the edge, the deep ball down the sideline. And what happens is they don't have to throw it early. Teams have widened out to stop the pass so early, they can run from the get-go. So they are a run-first team only because they make defenses fear the pass first. If a defense played the box, you'd see them pass every down. So I think that's the things you have to understand about Tennessee. They run the ball so well because in order to get double coverage on wide receivers, the defense has to take their two safeties and move them outside over top of the cornerbacks, so you get double teams out there. And that's what gives you so many large runs with the running a game. And that's what Tennessee understands so much. And that's why they run for so much yardage. Ole Miss, I think they want to throw the ball deep and throw the ball. I think they're a little bit more connected to the passing game and want to beat you that way first.
Yeah, Josh Heupel in that attack averaging 64 points per game. We saw them blow out Chattanooga, a very dominant effort against NC State on a neutral field. Nico I, as I like to call him, playing very well. That offense is averaging 333 passing yards per game, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But, Coach, I have to be honest with you, very impressed with the defensive effort for Tennessee in regards to that ball game against NC State. They forced turnovers. They really contained Grayson McCall and that high-powered attack. That was a very good effort, and they're going to need that this coming weekend against Oklahoma. Let me ask you this in regards to Lane Kiffin. We know about the potential opening for Billy Napier in regards to that situation in Gainesville, right? They're 1-2 right now, excuse me. Napier is being called potentially a buyout should they lose this weekend against Mississippi State. Kiffin has been named or at least rumbled to be potentially in the running for that job. One, do you think it's a good hire if Florida went that route? And how does Lane sort of push that off to keep the focus, everything in regards to Ole Miss in the football field right now?
I think Lane Kiffin's got to do what he's already said. He's set to be a coach at Ole Miss. That's what he wants to do is the coach at Ole Miss. Now, after the season, if Florida comes along and offers him a deal, he'll be set to go to Florida. I do believe that'd be a perfect fit at Florida because he has connections to that. And that's a program, Florida, when they have the right head coach, they win national championships. You think of Urban Meyer winning a national championship, Steve Spurrier winning a national championship. You've got so many players in Florida, and they have been the school that's been most attractive over the years in Florida. How many times has Ole Miss won a national championship in the last 20 years? It's not quite the same. Now, it doesn't mean Lane Kiffin isn't happy at Ole Miss. It doesn't mean they don't want to keep him there. I'm just saying if Florida makes some kind of move, they have the money and they have the type of program that would attract to Lane Kiffin, because now you can immediately put you in the same position that Urban Meyer was in or Steve Spurrier have been, of not having to upset some people or not having to go out there and play programs that have more than you've got, because very few teams have as much as Florida has. So don't know whether that's going to be the answer, but I think if they came calling, I know Lane Kiffin would listen, even though he may not take it. I know he'd listen.
I agree with that, and I think it would be in Florida's best interest to at least go after Lane in that type of regard and see if he would be interested in taking the job. Before we break down the games, Coach, the situation out in Texas, I think we're in agreement right now. After Georgia limped to that victory last week in Lexington, 13-12, they didn't cover as a 22.5-point favorite on the road in Lexington. Texas, from start to finish, from week zero straight through entering week number 4, has looked like the most complete team in the conference. However, a quarterback battle potentially brewing. Twin Yours gets hurt against UTSA last week. It'll be Arch Manning that'll get the start this week against UL Monroe. They do have the Red River rivalry on deck in a couple of weeks. How do you see this situation playing out for Sark? I still believe Quinn Ewers is the guy as long as he's healthy.
Absolutely. If you remember Michigan, they go into a Michigan environment, and you got to think about how we looked at Michigan going into that game, how we looked at that environment, how we looked how difficult a game that was, how much pressure there was on the quarterback, and he goes out there and he looks fabulous. It wasn't like University of Texas San Antonio. He was out there playing against Michigan, and I thought it was a phenomenal job that he did. Now, that doesn't mean Arch Manning is not a great quarterback, but I would say this, it's a great 1-2, but yours is number 1, and I think it won't be hard to convince Manning. He comes from a long line of great quarterbacks, from his grandfather, Arch Manning, to his father, to his uncle. They understand quarterbacking, and they understood going into this season he was going to be the backup quarterback and the future was going to be his. Well, it's exactly where it is now. As long as the quarterback is hurt, he'll play. And if he can't play up to where he does, he can always go in. They've got 2 great quarterbacks. But to me, Ewers already showed me that he needs to be the guy.
How important, too, is it for Sark, Coach, in regards to knowing that, you know, Quinn Ewers did it in Tuscaloosa last year. He did it in regards to winning a Big 12 championship and taking his team to the semifinal playoff game against Washington. And to know that he went in another tough environment in regards to Ann Arbor, snapped the Wolverines' 23-game home winning streak, and knows that on October 12th, you're going to have Georgia come to Austin, right? So after the Red River rivalry, you need your best quarterback. What a conference game, and the Bulldogs coming to town.
Well, you know what? He's battle tested. Ewers is battle tested. He's been in those type of situations. He's been calm. He's been collective. And he's come through and played great football. That does not mean Arch Manning won't do the same thing. But you have to. There's a little bit of unknown there. A little bit of unknown to what might happen under those kind of pressure situations. And the point that I'm trying to make is you don't have to make that decision. I think Arch Manning knew where he stood coming into the season. Ewers knew where he stood. And after the Michigan game, and yes, after the University of Texas San Antonio game, I see the situation be exactly as it was with a quarterback like Arch Manning, who comes from a family who understands being a quarterback on a team and waiting your term at times and building up to your opportunity. I think there's no rush for Arch Manning to show us how good that he is.
All right, we'll see how that situation plays out in Austin over the next few weeks. Right now, they do take on UL Monroe in this week's matchup. Arch Manning will get the start. All right, let's talk about the first game in regards to the ball games this week. A huge one in regards to Norman. It's Tennessee and Oklahoma. Tennessee now a 7.5-point favorite on the road against Jackson Arnold and Brett Venables. This is a very good game. You have a high-powered offense and a very good defense in Oklahoma. I have to be honest with you, Coach. I like Oklahoma as a home dog. I don't know if they win it, but I think they keep it within the number.
Well, I'm not sure that's a good number. It's going to be right around there. But I just like the fact that Tennessee, we said this earlier, is playing outstanding defense to go along with their prolific offense. Oklahoma's got a redshirt freshman quarterback. I still think he's got a ways to go. I think they've shown that they don't just throw points out there as easily in some of the games that we've seen and what they've had to do to win ball games. I just don't think we're going to see Oklahoma being able to put enough points on the board to win this football game. And so I would take, not take Tennessee, but I'd take Tennessee to beat the line as well.
Oh, when you look at Oklahoma's offense right now with Jackson Arnold, I agree with you, not as lethal as they were over the past couple of seasons with Dylan Gabriel. Arnold is playing well within the scheme, that offense right now, completing well over 60% of their passes, but a lot of short to intermediate throws. They're averaging 159 rushing yards per game. Defensively is where the Oklahoma Sooners are very sound. Only giving up 11 points per game. They're only giving up 77 rushing yards in regards to opposing offenses. If they can at least force Nico into third down situations, get that crowd involved, that could be a factor and a recipe to potentially win this matchup in Norman.
Absolutely. You've got the game plan down perfectly. They've got to get him in uncomfortable passing situations on third down, and that's how they perform on first and second down. You know, their defensive coordinator, Zach Alley, was my defensive coordinator my first year at ULM, and I hired him from Clemson because I was an analyst at Clemson because I wanted somebody that understood how to run a Brent Venables defense. And sure enough, he understands exactly how to run a Brent Venables defense because he was with Brent for 8 years. He was a student assistant under Brent Venables at Clemson. He was a graduate assistant under Brent Venables, and he was an analyst under Brent Venables. And so when he got there as a defensive coach, he's running a Brent Venables defense. And if you remember Clemson, that was a defense that could take you to a national championship.
When you look at Oklahoma right now, Coach, offensive line has allowed 9 sacks, right? So that's a cause of concern going up against a dominant pass rusher in Pierce and the Tennessee front 7. They've been very good in terms of run support. Is there anything they can do in terms of Oklahoma offensively to neutralize the front 7 where at least take pressure off of the offensive line? Can they utilize tempo or maybe a 2-minute drill early to at least get Tennessee's defense thinking pass first, take the pressure off for Arnold, and then utilize the rushing attack in the second half?
It's all about getting the ball out of the quarterback's hand very quickly. When I was the head coach at Auburn calling plays, and I was playing a national championship team like Alabama, or when Florida was in a championship, or Tennessee during the 90s when those were all champions, I made sure in my first series or two, I had the ball out of the quarterback's hands about as fast as you get out, throwing bubble screens to the wide side. A deep ball, believe it or not, throwing a deep ball is about the fastest way to get the ball out of your hands as well. So you want to throw a deep ball or two. You want to hit the short passes. Make sure the quarterback is able to get rid of the ball before the defense can get to him no matter what they do. Just until you get your offensive line gets a feel for how they're going to block them, how they're going to come after us. Are they going to blitz a lot? Are they going to move people around? And I'm going to make sure with my play calling the couple of series that I'm going to make sure that quarterback does not have the ball in his hands sitting in the backfield.
I think when you look at the Tennessee front seven, we talked about it, 55 rushing yards allowed in regards to the first three matchups, only 1.7 rushing yards per carry. That's going to be the cause of concern for Oklahoma. They need to stay in manageable third downs, especially with Jackson Arnold and that offense only averaging 166 passing yards per game. Coach, I think if this game gets to the total, 56.5, if it gets anywhere near that total, that's a Tennessee win. I lean to Oklahoma and the under. How do you see it playing out?
I agree with you there, because if Oklahoma's defense can slow down the offense at Tennessee, keep them from scoring too much, I think that because Brent Venables has defensive background, he'll be much more content to win a close ball game and win it defensively. Whereas if Tennessee is flying around on offense and making plays, they're going to score as much as they can. So a lot of that has to do with how well Oklahoma can slow down Tennessee's offense. Because if Tennessee is explosive and scoring lots of points, then whether Oklahoma can do it or not, they're going to have to try to score a lot of points. So I think that is the key, is how well Oklahoma's defense does in not giving up the big plays that Tennessee can have.
We'll see how that game plays out. Oklahoma's first SEC game under the lights in Norman Saturday night at 7:30. Another matchup, possibly the best game I've seen last weekend, Coach, took place in Williams-Brice. It was a 12 o'clock kick between LSU and South Carolina. I blinked and LSU was down 17-0 in regards to that matchup. They pull it out in terms of the last minute of that matchup. They win it 36-33. Brian Kelly and the Tigers have been living dangerously each and every week outside the beat down to Nicholls State in week number two. They now come back home. They take on a Big Ten opponent in terms of UCLA. They're laying right now 24.5 points in regards to this matchup. Give me your thoughts just in terms of where Brian Kelly and this program are and whether you think they can cover that 24.5 point number.
Yes, and I think they'll do great. LSU had a great comeback. If they learned anything about themselves last week, it's that they would not give up. They would not quit. They would not look back at the USC game and say we lost at the end. They never quit playing football. Now, we're talking about a team that had two turnovers. They got two explosive runs, 175, 167. They had a blocked punt that turned into a touchdown. They muffed an extra point, and they had 10 penalties. All those are terrible mistakes, but they can be corrected. But you can't correct a team that won't play 60 minutes, and they proved to be a team that will play 60 minutes. So I think they'll gain a lot of momentum and a lot of confidence. But that's a good South Carolina football team as well, a very good South Carolina football team. In fact, if they didn't lose their quarterback, they may not have lost that game. But I think LSU found out the most important thing about itself. If we can correct those mistakes, we've got a team that could play with anybody, home and away. Because remember, they were just one drive away from going to overtime with USC. So it's a team that I believe found out a lot about themselves this past Saturday. Now they got to correct those mistakes that they make that keep you from winning close games.
Absolutely, Coach. And I think they found their running back in terms of Caden Durham that broke out with 11 carries, 98 yards. I think a lot of LSU fans and boosters were worried in regards to the rushing attack once you saw John Emery go down with the ACL injury. Josh Williams, not a real home run hitter in regards to that rushing attack. They thought they had that with Caleb Jackson. It was Durham on Saturday that broke out. He's a freshman as well. If you can have three competent backs, that really is fresh legs in regards to the ball game at every time. It could wear down opposing defenses. The biggest question I have right now is, we know that Blake Baker came in from Missouri, was supposed to transform this defense. And we know that coordinators see the game through a different set of eyes, right? It takes a while to get acclimated to the talent and make certain play calls. Any concern now, watching the loss to USC, watching South Carolina move the football on the ground, especially in regards to the rushing attack with Rocket Sanders, are you concerned big picture by that defense and Blake Baker, or do you feel he can make the necessary adjustments to have them competing for an SEC championship?
Yeah, that is the big question. I think he does make them better. Blake Baker, the way he runs a defense, he makes them better. But I think we have to go back to look at the players LSU was trying to get out of the portal, and they missed on key players over and over again that would have strengthened their defense even more. So I think when you see teams that are moving the football against LSU, I think the defensive coordinator can put them in a better position to be successful, but they've also got to understand they're not as talented as they want to be. Got to find more ways to get Harold Perkins in the rush, the blitz situation, put him in a position to make more dynamic plays, because he's the kind of talent that can make up for a lot of ineffectiveness by other positions.
When you saw Garrett Nussmeier battle back, right, the critical interceptions and the mental resolve to just find a way to get it done, the kid's a gunslinger, right? Have you seen enough out of Garrett Nussmeier to say that he's the guy to potentially lead this offense? We know what Jaden Daniels did last year, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, his ability to take games over with his legs. Are you confident enough after watching Nussmeier on the road in Williams-Brice to say he's good enough for this team to potentially get into the playoff?
I think he's got all the ingredients that a quarterback needs to have. Maybe doesn't run as well as you wish he could, because that gives defenses so much of a problem. But you got to remember Joe Burrow's at LSU. Maybe the best that they've had was not one to run. So as long as Nussmeier will dump the ball off when he needs to, don't take a loss, dump it off and mix it up well, I think he's got all the skills, all the toughness, he's got the competitiveness and the talent to be a quarterback that they can win with. I think they've got to play very good defense to make sure they don't get themselves in trouble like being 17-0, because you're not going to do that in the SEC and have a chance week after week and come back and win.
I agree with that, and the fact that now you get UCLA in your house, this was a team with Ed Orgeron back in like 2019 that went on the road in the Rose Bowl with Max Johnson, and they lost that matchup by double digits to Chip Kelly. This is an opportunity to show out and show that they have the killer instinct, to show that last week was an aberration, and now they'll move forward potentially to 3-1 and get back into this thing. I think they cover this number, just not sold on Deshaun Foster and what I saw out of UCLA last week. They got abused by Kirk Cignetti and that Indiana offense and defensive lines going on the road. The crowd, the fact that this is a home game for LSU, I think LSU covers the number, and I think we sail through the 56.5 point total.
Yeah, I think this will be I think LSU will get after him. This team has played really horrendous for 2 games. They barely beat Hawaii. They got run out of the stadium by Indiana under new head coach Kurt Cignetti, and have looked bad. And I keep thinking about that preseason press conference that Deshaun Foster had, where he didn't quite know what to say or what to do or how to act like a head coach. And I just began to wonder, has he got all the questions answered in the way he's able to run this program? Sometimes you got to learn on the job a little bit. It takes a while to get your team ready to play. But so far, they have not looked very good.
Let's take our attention and turn our attention to the Plains and Auburn. It's a rivalry game for the most part, Arkansas and Auburn. Auburn struggling in regards to their season right now. Still don't have an offensive identity with Hugh Freeze. On the flip side, I think Sam Pittman still has the foundation with this team. I know that they haven't shown it potentially in terms of getting that week 2 matchup against Oklahoma State. They grind out another victory, 2-1. They're now on the road to face Auburn. Catching 3.5 points, Coach. I like Talon Green and the Hogs on the road here.
Yeah. If Auburn can't stop the run, you're going to see Arkansas come away with a win. And you got to understand the Arkansas fan base, they were devastated. Cal is not supposed to go into Auburn and win a football game. There's the Deep South, there's SEC, and there's Cal out on the West Coast. And they got a huge awakening last week when Cal beats them like they did last week at home. So I think you've got to say that Arkansas, and I think Arkansas is playing pretty good football. They lost a game against, opening game.
Oak State, they lost 38-31.
Yeah. That's a game that they very well could have won. I'm not sure should have. And they lost that game, but they've come back and played pretty well. Again, they didn't play well against UAB in the first half, but I see them running the ball well. I know Sam Pittman's job is on the line. I don't think Hugh Freeze's job's on the line, but I know Sam Pittman's job's on the line. But I like the way they run the football, and I would not be surprised at all if Arkansas had been in the Auburn football game.
We'll be back next week for Terry Bowden. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.